Hey, man, that was awesome. Wow, praise the Lord. Everybody's day is well. It is so good to be here. You guys are a special group. I'm really privileged to be here with each and every one of you. As time has been going on, I've been meeting individuals and really getting close to you guys, and I really appreciate it. Shall we start with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, pray and ask, Lord, that you will speak, Lord, that you will have a message for us, and that we will take heed to the message. Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember yesterday when I began to speak to you guys and I said, be aware of your what? Wow, that was awesome. Be aware of your surroundings. I forgot to mention one story. It kind of ties in with the message tonight, so I figured I'd leave it for tonight. But I used to be real competitive growing up, and every once in a while, it tries to come into my body, this competitiveness. And when I first got here, I stayed with Pastor Ken, and he was off on an emergency, and when he was off on his emergency, you know, he let me stay in his house. He was very hospitable and let me stay in his house. And so he has a dog. You guys know Boomer? You guys know Boomer. So you know how fast Boomer is, right?
No.
What? You should go visit. This dog is fast, right? It's a boxer. And so I'm in the basement downstairs, and, you know, Pastor Ken was like, hey, can you just keep an eye on Boomer, you know? So I began to get along with Boomer. And so one day, that competitiveness kicks in. And Boomer would always come downstairs to the basement and check on me. But then I would say, hey, Boomer, what's going on? And he would fly upstairs, right? Because I'm in the basement. Well, how the house is structured is the first floor, you have the stairs, and then at the top, there's like a little, you know, it kind of hangs over. So you can bump your head if you're not being aware of what? I thought I would have got the point, you know, some years later. And so I'm like, you know what, this dog is fast, but I just want to get him one time, just beat him up the stairs. You know what I mean? I didn't tell Pastor Ken this. I'm running around in your house like a kid. But so so what happens is I see Boomer, and I say, come here, Boomer. And then I break and start to run up the stairs, and the next thing you know, boom, I hit my head again. And this time, Boomer wins. He wins. I'm going to get him one day, though. But it kind of ties in. I talked about basically, you know, ignoring the word of the Lord. We've been talking about Jonah, right? And basically how Jesus came to Jonah, and Jonah decided to do what he wanted to do, correct? And tonight we're going to kind of talk about, I believe the Lord has a message for us, and not only being aware of our surroundings, it's very important. But what in our surroundings is separating us from the Lord? So does everybody have their weapons tonight? You guys remember what I said this was? Can you raise them up? Okay, okay. Can we turn in our Bible to Jonah? Jonah. And when you're there, please let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We didn't get too far. We only went three scriptures last night. Amen. Is everyone there?
Amen.
Let me tell you a story before I actually start. It was about 2 years ago. This actually is, it's about me. It's a story about me. So pay attention to this because it kind of ties into tonight's message. This is what the Lord has upon my heart to share with you guys tonight. It was 2 years ago. I was living this flamboyant, crazy life. You guys heard my testimony. You guys are getting to know me. And I had a group of friends. My friends that I hung out with, it was our gang, our mob. And they called me and said, "Hey man, check this out. I have a lick. A lick is called a robbery. I have a robbery that we can go handle. Basically, it's an inside job. We already know there's money there, $100,000. We know that the drugs are there." And I was like, "Nah, I don't, I'm cool, I don't wanna do it." So they came to my house. They're like, "Come on, let's go, man, let's go. Let's go get this money." I didn't need no money. I was pretty off with money. And they said, "Come on, let's go. Let's go get this money." I'm like, "Man, I really don't want to. You know, I don't really want to. But peer pressure. They talked me into going, and I didn't even want to go. I didn't want to go at all. And what happened was, they came in a van, and they picked me up, and they said, "Man, it's all good. It's easy. Don't worry. We'll just be in and be out." The type of friends I hung out with, though, they were nowhere near the Lord. You know? And my type of friends that I used to hang out with would kill you with no hesitation. And so I got in the van like an idiot. And, you know, I got in the van and we started driving. And I really didn't want to go. And next thing you know, we're in this van. And the first thing I could do was pray. I haven't prayed in a while. And I said, "God, please." I mean, you guys have to picture this. It's a van. I got dreadheads in the van. People with long hair, gold teeth, guns and drugs in the van. I'm in the van with felons. Two strikers. If they get caught one more time, they're going to jail for life. And I'm on felony probation. Still am. And they talked me into going because I was weak. And as we were driving, I said, "Okay, you guys, come on. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you know it's not right and you really got yourself in a situation and you went a little too far? Come on, raise your hands." Everybody's hands should go up. This was definitely me. And at this point, I'm sitting in the van like this. I'm just in the van, and I'm sitting, you got the driver, the passenger, I'm by the door, and you got somebody else right here. I didn't really plan to sit by the door, but, so I'm sitting like this, and I'm thinking, and I say, "White Boy Rich," that's the driver, that's his name, his street name. I say, "White Boy Rich, man, we shouldn't do this." And then my friend Boko, he's from East Palo Alto, he's a murderer. He's like, "Man, shut up, man. You Mac L from Trigger Mob 9/11. I was from, in my gang, there's different tiers. And I was 9/11. 9/11, that's a terrorist. You commit crimes to be 9/11. So what happened was I was sitting in that chair and I was like, "Man, we shouldn't do this. I have a bad feeling. Something's gonna happen." And so they weren't listening to me. "Oh, shut up. Little girl, why are you tripping? You're not scared. We seen you in action. We seen you hurt people. Well, what's the big deal?" I said, "Come on, man, I'm not feeling this. Please, just stop. Just let's just do something else." They didn't listen. There's a point in that, you guys. Don't get caught in a situation that you don't have no way to get out. But with God, all things are possible, amen? So let me tell you the good news. Now that you're on the edge of your seats, I prayed, and I said, "Lord, I know I'm not living right. I know I'm not living right at all." I had a Newport cigarette in my hand, and I was puffing on it. And I said, "God, please, if you hear my prayer." This is after I left the Lord. That's why my life really ties in with Jonah. This is after I left the presence, ignored the word of the Lord, ignored that Jesus told me that he had a calling for my life. and I'm smoking a cigarette. And what I was taught was, man, when you're living like that, you're a sinner, that your prayers won't go higher than the ceiling. Have you guys heard that before? Well, I pray as I'm exhaling on the smoking on the cigarette, and I blow out. I say, God, please help me. I don't want to go through with this. Did you know that 15 minutes later, the tire popped? Huh? What? Are you talking about relief? Hey, I had gold teeth, right? Top and bottom. And I was just smiling like this, smoking my cigarette. And they were pretty upset. They were looking at me like, dude, why are you smiling? Like, brother, I just prayed and God answered my prayer. I was excited because something really bad was going to happen, and I really believe that. God will protect you in your foolishness. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, correct? Amen? Man, so I prayed, and guess what? I got excited a little too fast. Have you ever did that? A little too fast. They said, oh, hurry up. Let's go get the spirit, bro. Come on, Matt. Let's go get the spirit. Oh man, is a spare in here? I forgot they had spares for cars and vans. So I'm like, oh, it's over. It's done. They're gonna put the spare on, we're gonna go through this, and somebody's gonna die, I'm gonna get hurt, die, or go to jail, or whatever. Next thing you know, they go to the back, they come back. I'm sorry. I'm rejoicing because look, they come back. This is a true story, I'm not making this up. This is the true story. This really happened to me. So you can imagine these guys coming back, guns in the car, everything, crazy, looking crazy. They come back and say, there's no spare in the van. I was like, yes! How good is God? God is so good, you guys. He is so good. That timing. You are never too far away from the Lord that the Lord cannot hear your prayer. He will hear your prayer. I was high on cocaine, smoking a Newport cigarette, and God answered my prayer. Jesus says, come as you are, when I had left the Lord. And tonight, let's look at Jonah 1:4, because Jonah 1:4 shows how loving Jesus is to each and every one of us. How good is God? He is so good that what did he do for Jonah in his disobedience? If you look in Jonah 1 verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent a great wind. It was windy today and yesterday, right? That was wind, right? The Lord sent a great wind. Great. It wasn't just your average wind. Can you imagine if the Lord sent the wind, a great wind, it had to be something big, typhoon, hurricane, upon the sea. It says he sent a what? A great wind upon the sea, a mighty tempest, which is a storm, so that the ship was likely to be broken. How good is God? Do you guys really see how good God is? Here you have Jonah disobeying the word of the Lord. Jesus came to him. Remember, we seen that yesterday, right? Would you guys agree to that? Jesus came to Jonah and he disobeyed the Lord. He disobeyed him, straight up. But look how good and loving that God is. He's so merciful that he sent a storm. He created a circumstance to bring Jonah back to his senses. Huh? Did he not? Just like he does with each and every one of us. I know he did that for me. In my disobedience, leaving the Lord, I'm in a van, facing death, facing prison, already a felon. I could have got violated just by being in the car with gang members. Put myself in a situation. Look at verse 5. It says, I'm sorry. It says, but then the mariners, right? It said, were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. brothers and sisters, it's so much out of this. I think that's why God was like, don't even use your notes. Good job, you know. Good job, Lawrence. You did some notes. But there's so much in this, you guys. I was talking to Pastor Ken. I was like, I don't even know where to go with this. But you guys, I want you guys to pay attention to something. In our surroundings, there's something that could be hindering our relationship with the Lord. Each of us is different. What is hindering you in your surroundings? What is taking you away from the Lord? Is it music that you're listening to? Is it what you're watching? Could it be your friends? Could it be your dirty mouth, cussing, disrespectful? What is it? But just follow me. It says that the sailors were afraid because of Jonah's concept, because Jonah disobeying the Lord, he put other people in danger. Do you guys see that? Because I disobeyed the Lord, I put other people in danger. I'll tell you one more story. I know you guys like stories, I love them too. What you do, my dad always told me this too. Even though my relationship with my father wasn't that good, he told me some good stuff. My dad told me that what you do will always affect others around you. So, I remember this time, I was standing on the corner with some friends. And I had a Park Avenue auto start, TVs, music and everything. I would start my car and the music would be playing. Well, we were on the corner and next thing you know, Task Force pulls up to go hit the corner house. Another true story. And at this time, I had my daughter with me. Not with me standing on the corner, but she was up the street with somebody that was watching her for me because I didn't want her to be around me selling drugs and stuff. So next thing you know, the police, they hit the house. They were looking for somebody that killed somebody. But they thought it was me. So next thing you know, the task force, they started moving in towards me this way. And I'm like, immediately, you know, I got drugs on me. I got crack cocaine. I got powder cocaine. I got marijuana on me. Ready to sail, with intent to sail. And the next thing you know, they start coming over, so immediately, I throw my keys to my cousin, was like, here, I don't got a license. Say it's your car. I had the drugs on me and I went to go run and throw it. Police aren't stupid, they deal with this all the time. Come on. And when I did that, I ended up getting caught. And it was either, I could have said it was my friend's or it was mine. Well, the person that I was with, he was a two-striker. He already had drug cases. So when you already have drug cases, if you're around drugs, guess what? You're automatically violated and you have to go do a violation. 90 days in prison. So I had to take the case because I said, well, it's mine. But see, my daughter, she's somewhere where she wasn't even supposed to be. So now, I had to call from jail. Look what I placed my daughter. I put her in a bad situation. She was in an environment where she could have got hurt. She was in an environment where somebody could have came in and tried to rob the house that I was staying in because of the drugs in there. So her mom had to leave work, had to come get her. You follow me? You see the cycle, the ripple effect to what happens when you disobey the Lord? So it says that Jonah was gone down in the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Brothers and sisters, man, do you guys see this? Jonah was gone down. Remember the direction that Jonah was going when he left the presence of the Lord? Where was he going? Down. Jonah's still going down. And what happened was, these people were crying out to their God. They were throwing out the wares. They were throwing out things in their life. Okay, you guys gotta look. This is a storm right now, is it not? Do we live in a storm? There's all kind of stuff going on. Even in my personal life, we're in a storm. And these people were throwing out things in their life, trying to lighten the ship. And what happened? Where was Jonah at? It says that he was what? He lay. I looked up that word, lay. That means he gave up. He surrendered. He left the Lord. He surrendered. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And so it says that he was fast asleep. Jonah was down in the... When you sin, what does sin do? Separate you, right? Jonah was separated from the Lord. And he was blinded by what was going on around him. Think about this. This is a storm. You got 30-foot waves. This is a great wind that God sent, right? He sent a great wind. Can you imagine that? Put yourself there that night. You got these sailors on the boat going frantic, scared. Oh my God, we're gonna die. They're throwing off everything. Have you ever been in a situation where you almost died? Man, it's scary, let me tell you that. They're throwing off everything and Jonah is in the bottom of the boat, asleep. Huh? How you gonna be in the bottom of the boat, asleep? Jonah had an opportunity to witness to these people. But because of his disobedience, he put them in a bad situation. Friends, who are we hanging out with? I'm not telling you guys stop hanging out with your friends. That's not what I'm doing. But which direction is the friends that you're hanging out with, where are they going? Are they running from the Lord or are they running to the Lord? Something to really think about. Because of my friends, they placed me in a situation where I could have been in prison for life, dead, or anything. There's a lot of people here, and you guys are friends. But you got, let's be honest, there's drugs on campus. Huh? There's all kind of people leaving a home, you know, going home. Getting high, drinking? Is that the type of person that you want to hang out with? I mean, is it really? Do you want to be close to the Lord or do you want to be further away from the Lord? I mean, it's really serious, you guys. This is what the Lord has upon my heart for you guys tonight. In your surroundings, what is it that is hindering you away from the Lord? What is hindering you? What is separating you from the Lord? Birds of a feather do what? Come on. Flock together. Do you guys love Jesus? Do you guys love Jesus?
Yes.
Come on, Jesus died for us. You hear the songs that we sang for song service? Jesus really loves us. I say this all the time. Whether you guys want to believe this or not, Jesus loves you. And he cares for you. Hang out with people that love Jesus, that love the Lord. Because if you hang out with the wrong crowd, it's going to get you just like me. My friend Jonathan Hampton, he was 17 years old, Seventh-day Adventist, grew up, morning, evening worship. His brother was preaching. 17 years old. He started hanging with the wrong crowd. Started off with church members, other church members. They didn't have no relationship with the Lord, and guess what? They started doing their own thing. They ignored the word of the Lord. Jonathan Hampton one night started messing around with cigarettes, then it led to marijuana, then it went to ecstasy, and then next thing you know, he's with his best friend, his best friend. Everything started off cool in the beginning for him. I remember I used to see him and be like, man, bro. And next thing you know, one night he got into an argument with his best friend, and there was a gun there. He was a good kid. He was a very good kid. I remember this kid. He was a skateboarder. He had love. He had a mother. The father wasn't there, but she taught him how to pray. Morning, evening, and worship. Seventh-day Adventist kid. And they're arguing over the gun. Next thing you know, bang! Just like that. Guess what happens? Jonathan Hampton is in jail for life today for killing a boy over wrestling with a gun. Because he knew better. He wasn't supposed to be hanging out with that type of crowd. And look where he is now. He wrote me not too long ago, and he said, man, tell these youth that God given you a call to watch who they hang out with. Because if you hang out with the wrong crowd, if they're not going to the Lord, they're going away from the Lord. And it's very important, brothers and sisters. And so look, while Jonah's in the ship, sleep, the shipmaster comes down to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise. He's telling him to arise. Remember what arise meant? To perform. Brothers and sisters, look, there's people in your life right now. I can guarantee you, just like my sister Crystal, there's people in your life right now who are dependent upon you to tell them about Jesus. And guess what? Only you can reach them. I couldn't reach them. Maybe, maybe not. Only you can reach them. The shipmaster came down and was like, arise, call on your God. Who knows? I've heard about there's a student on campus whose dad just passed away. Has anybody came to him and gave him some love? And said, brother, I know what happened. I'm sorry for you. I understand. Are we loving one another? There could be somebody on campus whose parents just went through a divorce. That doesn't feel good. I don't have a mom. Well, I do, but I don't know where she is. So the point tonight that I just want to share with you guys, just emphasize, is that, brothers and sisters, what is hindering you from the Lord? It's time to get serious. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Is tomorrow promised? Tomorrow's not promised to no one. Let me ask you guys something. If you guys were to leave here tonight and you guys got in the car and you went home and you got into a car accident and died, would you be ready to see Jesus? It's really serious. Would you really be ready to see Jesus if you got into a car accident tonight and died? Brothers and sisters, we gotta get serious. Again, you guys are the youth. You guys are gonna finish the work. And Jesus loves you, and he died for you. So, I just really encourage you guys to throw out anything that's in your life that does not need to be there. You guys know what it is. And I'm not talking to you. The Holy Spirit is talking to me too. What is in our life that is hindering us from really getting to know the Lord? It's serious. So, I just really, really wish you guys would really search your hearts really deep. How many last night went home and really prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord, am I ignoring you, Jesus? How many? Can I just see the hands? That's really good. Let's double it tonight. Let's go home tonight. Let's double it. Be real. You guys said speak real. Let's speak real. If you guys were to pass away, would you see Jesus? Let's make it serious. Let's go home tonight. Go back to your dorm. Whenever you go to sleep. And really pray and ask the Lord. Am I ready for your soon return, Lord? What is in my life that I'm holding on to? And just ask God and plead with him. I invite you guys to do that. And I need to do it for myself. I'm no better than you guys. Come on, this is what? My fifth sermon tonight? I'm not worthy to be up here, but this is a real message to you guys. And I really encourage you guys to take heed to the message because it's serious. It's really serious. Your father or your mother or your brother or sister could be in heaven looking for you. And where are you going to be? Looking at the city. It's that serious. Jesus loves you and he died for you. Take advantage of this free gift. Accept Christ in your life. Amen? That's all you have to do. It's easy. It's hard to turn around. I was talking to Brother Kenny. He said it's harder to turn around than just to keep walking straight. Right? So I encourage you guys. I encourage myself. Let's accept Jesus fully in our life. Amen? Let's do it. Let's not wait. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this night, Lord, and I just really pray and ask that you will please search our hearts, Lord. Please, what in our surroundings, Father, do we need to get out? Father, those that were on the boat needed to get out Jonah, Father. That was the real root of the problem. And Lord, I pray and ask that if there's any friends or anything in my life that I need to separate myself from just to get stronger, I pray that you will reveal that to me in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.